Okay, we're finishing up our study of Ecclesiastes today. We have a passage in chapter 11 and then a passage in chapter 12. This is the sixth lesson in this series, finding meaning, wisdom from Ecclesiastes, a book written by Solomon, a man who God gave wisdom to. He sought for what gave meaning to life. And the book of Ecclesiastes is a result of his search. Okay, and his conclusion, and we talked about this the last 5 weeks, is there's nothing under the sun, in other words, on this earth, that gives meaning or purpose to life. And again, we've mentioned it's easy to live under the sun. It's easy to live in the here and now. It's easy to look at things of the earth and say, well, it must be something here that gives meaning and purpose to our life. But if we try those things, we'll come to the same conclusion that Solomon did, that all is vanity, futility, vexation of spirit. It's only when we exercise faith, it's only when we live above the sun and see life from God's perspective that we can find the true meaning and purpose in life. So we've had five lessons so far. When life feels empty, life without Christ is meaningless. The problem with pleasure. Pleasure and possessions don't offer lasting joy. They may offer joy for a while, but it doesn't last. The problem with wisdom, true wisdom, is grounded in trust in God. The problem with work, our work only has meaning when it's done to honor Christ. The problem with wealth, contentment comes from Christ, not from our possessions. And then today we're going to talk, the title of the lesson is Full Contentment. Contentment comes from, obedience is the key to a full life. Solomon's going to say, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. That's going to be one of the last verses we look at. And in those verses, he gives us three things that say, hey, if you do these three things, that's when you'll find purpose and meaning to life. The book of Ecclesiastes deals with a whole array of issues, okay? Again, Solomon was searching for meaning. Some of those issues are difficult because they are complex. But when we get to the end of the book and when Solomon draws the conclusion, it's plain and it's simple. Anybody can understand it. And as we see it, we might wonder, well, what took you so long to get here? I mean, why did you have to go through everything that you did in order to find the answer? And if you go back and you look at wisdom literature that was written at this time, most of the authors spent a lot of time talking about stuff that didn't work. In other words, the non-answer, before they got to the answer. And by the way, even though this is given so that we can learn that we don't have to go through the same process, most of us, maybe not all of them, but most of us try one or two things ourselves. Say, well, meaning in life must be tied up in this, or meaning in life must be tied up in this. And we could ask ourselves the same question, why did it take us so long to get to the truth? Why did it take us so long to get to the conclusion? So here's an overview of what Solomon's going to conclude. Enjoy every day of life as a gift from God. We ought to enjoy every day of life as a gift from God. We ought to enjoy the things that God has put in our life that bring joy. But he's going to say we need to do that responsibly, because as Brother Clyde was talking about, he's going to hold us accountable and responsible for the ways that we have lived our life and the ways that we have enjoyed our life. Sometimes that judgment comes immediately, sometimes it's delayed, but that judgment will come. And he's going to say that meaning is life in life is found in obedience to God. Obedience to him. That's the only way that we can find meaning and true purpose and joy in our life. Now, that flies in face of what the world says. That flies in face of what our own human nature says. But Solomon says, hey, look, I've tried everything else, and I've come up empty. It's only when I came back to God and put him at the center that I find meaning and purpose and joy in my life. We can try the things of the world, but it's only when we come back to God and make him the center of our life and live our life in obedience to him, that our life will be full and meaningful and purposeful, and we'll have the joy that God wants us to have. So, there's only two passages of Scripture this morning. We usually have three. So there's 2 points to the lesson. Enjoy the life God has given, but he will hold you accountable for how you enjoy it. And then number two, reverent obedience of God is the way to enjoy the life he has given. So we start in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 7 through 10. If you have your books, they're in the book. If not, follow along in your Bible. Ecclesiastes 11, 7 through 10, here's what the Bible says. Truly, the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. The contrast between light and darkness is a metaphor that's used over and over in the Bible. Sometimes it's used to differentiate between good and evil. Light's good, darkness is evil. Sometimes it's used to differentiate between truth and untruth. Truth is light, untruth is darkness. Sometimes it's used to differentiate between life and death. Now, Bible scholars have different opinions about how Solomon's using light and darkness here, but most of them think that it involves two concepts. He's talking about letting light and darkness represent life and death, but he's also talking about light and darkness represent youth and old age. Okay? The light represents the happy life associated with the vitality of youth, the exuberance of youth, and darkness represents the process of aging, old age, as life fades out and heads toward death. So he says, light is sweet. Now that word sweet means pleasant, appealing, desirable, or refreshing. A pleasant thing, in verse 7 it says, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. That word pleasant means good, that which is appropriate, agreeable, pleasing. So again, Solomon says, hey, life, light, and again, so we can say life, or we can say youth is sweet, and it's a good thing to behold the sun. Of course, the sun, he's talking about the sun, the source of light. Again, he's talked about living under the sun as living on earth, but for most of us, it's a good day when we can get up in the morning, look out, and see the sun. I mean, and that's what Solomon is saying. It's a good thing for the eyes to behold the sun. So he says, if a man live many years, he ought to rejoice in them all. What Solomon is saying is, we ought to take no day for granted. Every day is a gift from God. Every day holds potential. Every day God has something in it for us. And so we ought to cherish the day. This is the day, the psalmist says, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And so we ought to get up every morning and we ought to remind ourselves, hey, God made this day. He has something in it for me, just for me. I mean, he's got something in it for you, but as we think about it, God has something special. God has something meaningful. God has something just for me this particular day. Too many people just coast through life. Too many people just, it's like they're on an inner tube floating down the river. They just go, you know, they just float along. And oftentimes they don't enjoy the scenery as they float along. And what Solomon is saying is, look, we ought to pay attention. We ought to learn, we ought to get something, however you want to say it, out of every day, because God doesn't waste days. And we shouldn't waste days either. He has made this day for us. There's something in this day for us from God. And we need to pay attention and find out what it is. Now, at the same time, he says, let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. Okay? So, God has given youth. And again, youth is a relative term. Okay? There's a lot of young people in this room this morning. And yeah, I know there's younger people out there, but there's a lot of young people in this room this morning. And so we ought to enjoy life, but we need to remember that life is moving toward an end. Nobody lives forever. Even if you live to be 120 years, there will be many days that darkness will be there. Now, in a minute, I'm going to talk about, you know, Solomon's not writing this from a heaven-filled eternity. Okay, he's writing it more from a human perspective. Okay, life is going to end, and there will be more days of death than there is life. And when we get older, and if darkness means old age, there will be many days as we age and as we approach death there'll be many days. I mean, you know, when we get to this point in our life, I am this year I'll be 60. What would I be this year? I'll be 68. I have to stop and think about it. I'll be 68. I'm a lot closer to dying than I am to the day that I was born. And I'm going to have a lot more aches and pains and trials and hardships, the rest of my life than I probably had up till this point. Now, some of you, if not all of you, can identify with that because we're at that age. And Solomon says, enjoy life. It's precious. Because God has given us every day, but know that the darkness is coming. And again, it's not only death, but it's that old age where we have to. Pete and I were talking the other day, the golden age is not so golden. He says, yeah, it's more rusty than it is golden. But that's the way it's going to be. If we continue to live, we're going to have to go through that. And then he says, all that cometh is vanity. Meaningless, futile. Now, what's all? What's all? Is it the dark days of growing old? Is it what comes after death? And again, Solomon's not writing from a heaven-filled eternity. He trusts God, okay? But his view of death is still an earthly view, okay? Jesus hadn't come yet, okay? He hadn't died. He hadn't laid in the grave. He hadn't resurrected to give us the hope and promise of heaven. And so Solomon says, and again, he's not talking about heaven. He's just saying, look, this life one day is going to end. We need to enjoy the days that God has given us, but know that the end is coming. We're going to get old. We're going to suffer. And eventually, we're going to die. Now, in verse 9, again, he says, to the young man, rejoice. Rejoice in your youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. In other words, let your heart be glad. And notice what he says. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. It's almost like he's saying, hey, do what pleases you. Do what looks good to you. Do what makes you feel good inside. Now, we may cringe at that and say, well, I never told my kids that. Do whatever you want. Do whatever makes you happy. But Solomon is saying, yeah, look around and see the good things that God has given and pick out those things that make you feel good and enjoy them. Enjoy them. But listen to the rest of the verse because he says, know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. And so he says, enjoy life. Enjoy the good things that God has given. Pick out the things that are pleasing to you. Pick out the things that will be that will bring joy to you, and enjoy them. Enjoy enjoy the days of thy youth. And again, you're younger now than you will ever be. Do you ever stop and think about that? Today will be the youngest day that you'll enjoy for the rest of your life. And so it still has application to us. We're still young today. We'll be old tomorrow and the next day, but we're young today. And so Solomon says, look around. Pick out the things that you enjoy. Some of you have, I already know what you're going to enjoy, Brother Wayne. You're going to go to Lucky's today, and you're going to enjoy that salad that you and Carol get. And there'll be other people. Barb and Ed usually go, and there'll be other people that you. Some of us are going to a banquet where we're going to enjoy, you know, we're going to enjoy riding the bus and like we did when we were kids. No, we won't, but we're going to try. But anyhow, Solomon says, enjoy it. But remember, as you do that, that God will bring thee into judgment. Now, I think Solomon is putting confidence in young people that sometimes we don't do today. He's saying, look, I have confidence that they can pick out the good things to enjoy and still live responsibly, still make wise choices, still remember that God is going to judge them. And again, you may say, well, this sounds like a mixed message. But but look, today, young people, I mean, I'm talking about teenagers. I'm talking about kids younger than teenagers feel the pressure of life, feel the pressure of wanting to be a success. I mean, a suicide among teenagers and suicide among preteens are higher now than it's ever been. Okay? And again, young people need to be encouraged to be young. They need to be reminded. You don't need to grow up so fast. You can still be a kid. You can still be a teenager. You can still enjoy life that God wants you to enjoy. Now, at the same time, we ought to teach them, and this is where parents and the church comes in. At the same time, we need to teach them, but remember, you're going to stand before God. Like Brother Clyde was talking about a minute ago, we're going to stand before God. We're going to give an account. But enjoy your youth. Live your youth. Be a kid. Be a teenager. Enjoy the things that kids should enjoy. Enjoy the things that teenagers should enjoy. Enjoy the things that, you know, young adults should enjoy. But remember, you're going to stand before God. They need to have implanted in them a strong faith. And again, that comes from moms and dads that not only teach but exhibit that faith. That comes from churches that preach the gospel and tell them about Jesus and say, you know, God does want us to live by this book, and he's going to hold us accountable. And we, as an older generation, we have the responsibility to guide young people. And that's what Solomon was doing. I mean, he was trying to give guidance. And so he admonishes there in the last part of this section to remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. That word sorrow talks about internal turmoil. It's things like grief and anger, anxiety, frustration, indignation. Evil is anything that's hurtful or that would cause injury. And again, put it away from the flesh. So it's talking about, I think when it talks away, putting away sorrow, it's talking about putting away those things that will affect us on the inside. And when it talks about putting away evil, it's talking about putting the things that affect us on the outside, our body. Youth. And it's not, and again, we're all as young today as where we're going to be. So don't just think that Solomon's talking to teenagers. We make choices. We make choices. I'm going to talk about that in my message this morning. And our choices have consequences. There are things that we need to choose to let into our life, and there are things that we need to keep as best we can out of our life. Because they are going to, there are some things that if we let into our life, it's going to be harmful to our minds and harmful to our bodies. Okay? And we know those things. And we need to make choices. Okay? Now, again, I know that chocolate chip cookies can be harmful to my body. Oh, I love this class. No, it's not. It's a lie from Satan. They don't hurt you if you eat ice cream with them. Not if you don't eat the whole box. What an encouragement you've been to me this morning already. Again, it's finding that balance. One or two might not hurt you. The whole box probably would. And so we need to make choices. Now, he says, childhood and youth are vanity. Okay? Now, the word childhood, in some cases, is translated youth. And the word youth, in some cases, is translated the prime of life. In fact, that word youth comes from a word, a Hebrew word, that means blackness. Like blackness, I'm not pointing at mine as an example, but like when I was young, I had black hair. Now that I'm older, it's falling out and the rest of it is turning gray. And so Solomon says, youth and the prime of life is vanity. Now, usually in the book of Ecclesiastes, when we've run across that word vanity, it's meant something that's futile, meaningless. It can also mean something that is of short duration, okay? Like a vapor or a breath. That's the interpretation here. Childhood or youth and the prime of life is vanity. It's short-lived. It won't last long. And so Solomon says, enjoy your youthful years. Enjoy what God's given you to enjoy Him with. Avoid those things that will bring sorrow and evil into your life. And remember, these years are fleeting. They will end soon. And so enjoy them while you can, all the while remembering that one day you'll stand in judgment before God. All right, let's move on to chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a wearisomeness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, the warning in verse 12, by these, my son, be admonished. We need to go back to verse 11. In verse 11, Solomon endorses godly wisdom teachers. Okay? He says, hey, there are godly men who will teach you wisdom. And they speak under the influence and the instruction and the inspiration of the one shepherd. In other words, God. Okay? So he says, by these, my son, be admonished. So he said, listen to godly teachers. Listen to teachers that will teach you what they have been taught from God. Now, again, in a lot of the wisdom teaching, the phrase my son is used to talk to the teacher's students. This first time that Solomon uses it in the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, of making many books, there is no end. His day must have been like our day. There are a flood of books that are published that will try to teach you something, okay? And from teachers of every ilk, okay? And what Solomon, he says, much study is a wearisome of the flesh. There are some of those books that you should avoid. There are some of those books written by ungodly men and women that are questionable, are undependable, are not valid, are deceptive. and studying them is a waste of time. It's weariness of the flesh. In other words, if you're not careful, it'll wear you out. It'll wear you out physically because there's so many of them. If you try to study all of them, it'll wear you out mentally because you'll get different points of view. You'll get different, you know, different philosophies of life. And so be careful about the books that you read. Now, again, some people say they'll use this verse and say, well, the only thing you ought to read is the Bible. I don't think that's what Solomon is saying. There's a lot of godly people that have written good books that are based on the Bible, that expand and enlarge on the Bible. So he's not saying, hey, the only thing you should read is the Bible. I mean, if you're only going to read one thing, I'll tell you you ought to read the Bible. But if you're a reader, there are some good Christian books that ought to be read. Some people, neither does this verse say that we ought to only read Christian literature. There are history books. There are fictional classics. There are other books that are not only entertaining, but they're informative and they're instructive. And I don't think Solomon's saying, hey, you ought not to read any of those. We need to read those. It helps us get an idea of the culture, not only that we live in, but the culture of the world. And we have a worldwide commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But there are some books that we ought to avoid because they'll poison our mind. They'll poison our soul. Any book that tries to tell you that Jesus is not the Son of God. Any book that tries to tell you there's another way to be saved. Any book that tries to tell you that, you know, hell is not real and a loving God never would send anybody to a place like that. They'll poison our mind. They'll poison our spirit. And we ought to be selective in what we read. But again, Solomon, throughout the whole book of Ecclesiastes, he says, I'm searching for meaning. I've tried pleasure. It didn't work. I've tried wisdom. I came up empty. I've tried work. I came up empty. I tried wealth. I got stuff. When I got stuff, I wanted more, so I was never satisfied. And so he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let me tell you what I found out. And he says three things. Fear God. Fear God. Stand in awe of God. Reverence God, honor God, respect God. That word also means to be afraid and to dread. Some people need a holy fear, terror of God. They become too chummy with God. God is omnipotent. God is the all-powerful, sovereign Lord. He is the creator and sustainer of everything about us. Now, he loves us. He loves us. He's merciful. He's compassionate. He shows us grace. But we need to fear him in all aspects of the word fear, both respect and terror. Fear God. Number two, keep his commandments. Okay? Guard, observe, give heed to, obey, however you want to say, his, God's commandments. They are mandates. They are not suggestions. They are not options. Our first concern ought to be, what does God say? And that's what we ought to be obedient to. It's not what we think is best. It's not what other people expect of us. It's what God says. And again, what God says is what's best for us. Okay? And keeping God's commandments ought not to be a drudgery. It ought not to be, hey, well, this is my duty. This is what I need to do. Keeping God's commandments ought to be a joy. We get to know him. We get to know his commands. And then we get the joy of living by those commands. He says this is the whole duty of man. In other words, it has a couple meanings. I mean, this is the basic duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. And it applies to everybody. It applies to everybody. All mankind. And then number three, live with judgment in mind. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Nothing escapes God's view. Nothing. Nothing escapes his judgment. He determines what's good and evil, and his judgment will be by his righteous standards. It will be impartial, and it will be true. And again, knowing that we will stand before God as our judge. Not to get judged for our sin, because if we've received Christ, our sin is gone. But we will be judged for how we live our life as a Christian. That ought to motivate us to fear God and keep his commandments. Now quickly, Jesus said the same thing in the New Testament. He said, the thing that's going to identify you as my disciples, the thing that's going to set you apart from the world, is that you love me and keep my commandments. That's what's going to set us apart. That's what ought to set us apart, is living for Christ in this world. And so Solomon says, I've tried it all. Now again, he recorded it in the book of Ecclesiastes so that we can learn from it. We don't have to go through the same process. I say that knowing that many of us, including myself, have or will. We'll try some of these things. We'll try pleasure. We'll try wealth. And we'll try possessions. And we'll say, well, maybe Solomon was wrong. But at the end of the day, we'll come back to where he came to. The conclusion of the whole matter is fearing God and keeping his commandments and knowing that judgment is coming is what gives meaning and purpose to our life. It's what brings joy to our life. We won't find it in anything of the world. All the things of the world are going to pass away. Paul says, hey, all those things used to be important to me, but now they're just garbage. They're just rubbish. I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ, and I want to serve him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Solomon, his search for meaning. Thank you for the book of Ecclesiastes that you've given it to us so that we can learn from it. And I pray that we do. I pray that we learn from Solomon's study, his quest, and his conclusion. I pray you'd help us realize that fearing you and keeping your commandments, knowing that judgment is coming, is what does give meaning and help us find meaning and purpose in our life. So thank you for this lesson. Thank you for all these lessons. I pray, Father, that as we go into the service that follows, that you'll go before us, that you will have prepared our hearts and prepared our minds to receive what you've prepared for us. I pray for those that will be here that don't know Christ as they hear the gospel. I pray they'll make the choice to receive him. I pray for the many Christians that will be here that as we make choices from day to day as how we live the Christian life, we'll realize that those choices reflect on our Savior. And so I pray you'll speak to all of our hearts, accomplish your will in the service that follows. Again, thank you for this time we've been able to spend in your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here for Sunday school this morning.